Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
DA, what's up, brother? How you feeling? I love listening to your show, man. I listen to you every day. I can't wait for it, and I hate when it ends. Your gimmicks are the best gimmicks. Want to say I appreciate you guys, and have a good day.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, the best gimmicks. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest is a five-time MLB All-Star, which happens to be the same amount of rings he has as well. Five-time World Series champion. He's got a new book out called Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. He was part of integral teams, really important, really good teams, with the Royals, the Mets, the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox. The list goes on and on. David Cohn joining us here in studio. David, good morning.
DA, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, man. You know, you played on really interesting teams. I mean, you played on a Royals team right after they had won the 85 World Series. You played for the Mets of the 80s. You played for the Yankees of the 90s. You won a championship in Toronto. You saw a lot. If you just had to say off the top of your head, what was the most interesting clubhouse that you played in?
Well, it's an easy answer. It's the Mets of the 80s, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, there was so many A-type personalities, characters of the game, wild group of players, and also the era in the 80s lent itself to a little more openness. We could go out at night and hang out together. You know, some nights it was 15 players at a restaurant and then taking over a sports bar somewhere. So it was a different era when you could get away with that sort of thing.
Were you able to fit in easily? Because that was a pretty tight-knit clubhouse that had just won a championship. Was it hard at all to break through?
It was at first. I mean, they were really hard on the rookies. You know, I talk in the book about kind of getting cut down to size. You know, a conversation I had with Bobby Oito on the plane one day, and he just read me the riot act. You talk about tough love. I mean, that's just the way it was. You really did have to kind of, you know, sit in the corner, be quiet. And if you messed up, they were just going to unleash on you, almost to the point of verbal abuse at times.
And yet, you know, one of your first seasons there was an incredible epic season. You went 20-3 in 1988, the 2.22 ERA. You were the star of that rotation. Once you had that season, I'm guessing nobody on the Mets read you the riot act anymore. You had broken through.
Yes. I mean, there's a rite of passage at some point. That was really my first full season in the big leagues. So, yeah, after that season, even though there was some controversy in that season, we talk about in the book, you know, in a ghostwritten column I did, you know, I always wanted to be in the media for some reason. I'm watching The Odd Couple growing up. I thought I was going to be Oscar Madison.
But, yeah.
You know, I did a ghostwritten column in 1988 before that playoff game against the Dodgers. We ended up losing that series. I lost game two. I completely choked, and I detail it in the book and kind of own up to it. And I think that's the best part of the book. It's raw. It's honest. I take myself to task on some of the stuff that I went through and the mistakes I made, and that's certainly one of them. But, yeah, you're right. After that 88 season, I really felt established.
David Cohn joins us here in studio. He's got a new book out called Full Count. Was that the best team that you were on that didn't win a championship, 88 Mets?
I think so, without a doubt. That team was loaded. A lot of times, a lot of people feel that was better than the 86 team. And maybe on paper, it probably was. We had Kevin McReynolds in left field, who had an MVP-type year. Strawberry had an MVP-type year in right field. Gary Carter was still in his prime. Keith Hernandez was still in his prime. Dwight Gooden was still throwing the ball like Dwight Gooden did before his injuries and his addiction issues. You know, I think that particular rotation, that starting rotation, was the most diverse and best rotation I've ever been a part of when you think about Sid Fernandez in the middle of that as well.
And Greg Jeffries had that great late season surge as well. And you guys kind of had it all cooking, then lose to the Dodgers, the NLCS, at a time where there was only the ALCS, NLCS before the World Series. As you said, the ghost written column, which kind of called out the Dodgers, and then you guys end up losing and you did not have a good game that day. Is that your biggest regret in baseball, looking back and calling out the opponent at that point?
I think so. I just wish, it was off the field type stuff that's controllable. All I had to do was say, no, I don't want to do a ghost written column. But it also was a big learning experience for me, because even though I got the byline of that article, I didn't write it. I had a conversation with Bob Clappish, and I didn't get a chance to see the final copy before it went across the wire. So I had an out. I could have, after that game, I could have said, you know what? I blame Bob Clappish for this, but I stood in front of my locker. I wore it. I owned it. And I came back and pitched in game six after that and won game six in that series. And that was the turning point. Emotionally, the young kid that kind of cowered and choked in game two came back and got redemption in game six. And I think that learning experience there set me up for a couple of things, not only to handle adversity on the field, but how to deal with the media in New York.
Mm. 92, you end up getting traded to the Toronto Blue Jays, stretch run, and this is the first of the Blue Jays' two back-to-back World Series championships. So you're part of the first ever World Series championship for Toronto and the country of Canada. And at that point in time, the Blue Jays were a monster. People kind of forget they had a huge payroll. They were collecting all these monster pieces, and you guys were kind of an all-star team that went to the World Series and won. What was the experience like to get traded there and then in the middle of things just kind of have this historic moment with the franchise?
It was a lot of pressure. It was the beginning of the hired gun, the label that kind of stuck with me from that point on, and I felt tremendous responsibility. The trade came at the end of August, past the trade deadline. The trade deadline's at the end of July, so entire rosters got through waivers that particular year. A lot of rumblings of collusion among owners to allow that to happen. I could have been blocked by any team from being traded to the Blue Jays, but it didn't happen. But I made about six or seven starts down the stretch and then right into the playoffs. And once again, back then there was no wild card. So you felt the whole country of Canada on your back at that point. It meant a lot. And the Sky Dome in Toronto was sold out every night. There was 50,000 plus. It was just an incredible feeling, and the expectations were, we need to get over the hump here. This is huge for this country, for this organization.
It's kind of different when it's a country, right? Not just a city that you're carrying.
It really was. And in the middle of the World Series, we played the Braves that year in 1992. And a lot of people think about, when you talk about the Blue Jays in World Series, you think about the Joe Carter home run. That was 93. They went back-to-back. Dave Winfield, the former Yankee, got the winning hit in 1992. And in the middle games down in Atlanta, one of the national anthems, they flew the Canadian flag upside down. And that was a big national uproar over that. That's kind of got lost. People that were watching back then remember that. And that became a rallying cry for all of Canada. It's like, how dare they fly our flag upside down? And it was the ultimate insult. And we kind of took that and ran with it.
David Cohen joins us. He's the author of the new book, Full Count. So you end up going to the New York Yankees, and what's the more memorable moment or the most impactful moment for you as a Yankee? Was it down 0-2, 96 World Series, your incredibly important start in Game 3 on the road in Atlanta, or, and that was coming off of the aneurysm in your shoulder that year, and you had a dramatic comeback to even come back and play that year, or was it your perfect game in 99?
To me, it was 96 because it impacted the whole team. I mean, I'm thankful for the perfect game. It's an individual achievement. It was the middle of the season. Win, lose, or draw that game, and it didn't impact our goal that season. But it was a signature moment that I'm very thankful for. But 96, without a doubt, on the heels of losing in 95 in the playoffs to the Seattle Mariners, a five-game series in Seattle in 95 after the strike, we end up losing three straight. I throw 147 pitches in the final game, game five, and Don Mattingly's last playoff game, only playoff experience. And then right the next year, I find myself in the same spot. And bases loaded, middle of a game, game three in Atlanta. Everything's on the line. And if we lose that game, the Braves are probably going to just sweep us, or they had the upper hand. So game three in Atlanta in the 96 World Series wasn't a great performance. I got through six innings somehow. I kind of gutty grinded through it. It wasn't a pretty masterpiece by any regard.
So you played for the Mets after they win the 86 championship, and there's always this kind of haunting from Mets fans that there was only one title, and I think from the players on that roster as well. But you played for the Yankees organization that capitalized on four World Series championships. They both happened in the same city, not far apart. Was it evident that the Yankees organization, maybe the clubhouse, the leadership, the manager, whatever, was just better suited to handle success and take advantage, maybe understand the moment more than kind of letting it slip away than what you saw within the Mets organization?
It's possible. You know, the Mets did win in 86. So, you know, they had some strong personalities. Davey Johnson, the manager, Keith Hernandez. So they had leaders. They had all the ingredients. It's just disappointing that we didn't do more as an organization. I think the key with the Yankees was Joe Torre when he came in. And you know, I mentioned that 95 playoff series. The organization pivoted on a dime after that series. Buck Showalter was fired. Joe Torre was brought in. The headlines in the New York papers were Clueless Joe. He doesn't know what he's getting into. This is a bad hire. He was the perfect hire. He dealt with George Steinbrenner. He circumvented a lot of things and became a buffer between the clubhouse and the owner. And a lot of things we didn't even realize till later on when he did his book and told some of the stories. So Torre was the key. He's the guy that really leveled everything out there from an emotional standpoint, dealt with the owner, and set the whole organization up for a mini run there, and it ended up being four out of five World Series titles.
George Steinbrenner's aura will always be there. His legacy will always be there, and there's so many stories of the pressure that it was to be a star on the Yankees and have George kind of looking over your shoulder and prodding you and demanding more out of you. Was it as pressurized as we hear?
Yes. I mean, we love George. We saw a different personality and a different guy completely in the 90s. The 90s version of George Steinbrenner was much different than the 1970s version of George Steinbrenner. So, and when you win four out of 5 years, that gives you obviously a little more equity. But we used to prank him. We used to joke with George.
Yeah.
We would involve him in team meetings. I would, you know, I would stir up the pot. And during the 2000 Subway Series, George Steinbrenner was sitting in the clubhouse at Shea Stadium, and there were a bunch of cable wires running down on the ground. For obvious reasons, it was the World Series, and I talked George into thinking that those wires weren't supposed to be there, that the Mets were bugging us. They were stealing our signs, and George fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. He got down on his knees. He was yanking at these cables, and then he looked back at me, and he saw me red-faced, and he got mad because he knew I was pranking him, and he ran towards me, and he said, "You better be ready to pitch, young man." He kind of got me in a hammerlock. Gave me a noogie almost. It was a surreal scene, but that's the kind of relationship we had with George. We could do those sorts of things with him, and it helps when you win, obviously, too.
That's amazing. Who did you learn your pranking from as a veteran?
Roger McDowell with the Mets, without a doubt. One. Yeah, I mean, the whole Mets team, it was all about pranks. So, you couldn't help but learn a few tricks of the trade from that group.
Could you pull off a good hot foot?
I could. I definitely could. It became a little passe as the years went on. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, another hot foot. Here we go again.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I definitely know how. I know the formula.
The book is Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. You had fun doing this book, didn't you?
I did. You know, and part of it's Jack Curry, who's a great writer, New York Times. His resume speaks for itself. And there's a real trust factor. He's a friend. And as you know, that's kind of the most important thing. When you're going to open up and be raw and tell the truth, you better have somebody on the other end that you're working with that you really trust.
Yeah, it's a really cool book now that baseball season's in full swing. Father's Day is coming up. This is a really cool book for a gift this summer to lounge around the lake or the yard, the lawn, the pool, the beach, and take it all in. Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. David Cohen had such an amazing baseball career that it's a really easy read to just get sucked into because you were just part of such iconic teams and iconic moments. I mean, your timing is, we joked about before the interview, your timing was impeccable.
It really was. The luck of the draw. I mean, it's rolling the dice, and this is what comes up.
Pretty cool. Again, the book is Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher by David Cohen and Jack Curry. You can find that all places books are sold, especially online as well. It's a lot of fun, man. Thanks so much for doing it.
No, thanks for having me on. Great.
You got it. David Cohn, you can also watch him as part of the Yankees telecasts on the YES Network and WPIX as well.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.